What's up?
How are you, beautiful people?
How's everybody doing out there?
I know. Before we got the comments, we weren't here. We left for a little vacation.
I mean, it's more of a mental vacation. You know? I mean, sometimes you have to sit back and reassess things, especially when you're going to school.
Yeah, because
school
sucks.
Hell the fuck yeah.
We work here to get this degree. We're on it.
Trying to get this money.
But I'm excited because we got brand new news. So.
Brand new news corner.
Yeah. Brand new news. So. It's September. We took a little, like, we were supposed to take 2 weeks off, and then we took, like, four.
Wait. I just realized something.
What?
We never even introduced ourselves.
Oh. Hi. My name is Carla.
Yeah. It's your boy, Josh.
And we are What the Fuck Latinx, where we talk about... I love how I have an echo. Go again.
The ad-libs.
Go again.
Latinx.
Where we talk about what the fuck is our Latin culture.
Food.
Weird fun facts.
Music.
And.
Fashion. Sazón.
Santería.
Brujería.
Everything.
Chancletazo. Hijo de la gran.
What happened there?
That's my inner Dominican mom.
Oh my God.
We talk about the struggles about. Being in...
As you can see, we came back a little aggressive. We came back with the motivation.
Yo, we came back hungry. I'm trying to get this bag.
Oh, you came back hungry?
I'm trying to get this bag. I'm trying to get this bag, and I ain't talking no North Face. I'm trying to get this bag. I'm talking Gucci.
Well, I have some news. Okay, yeah. So, my name is Carla. He's Joshua. We both grew up in different places in the world. Both Latinos with different perspectives. And
so this is episode 4. So if you're not familiar,
this is episode 5, my bro. This is episode 5. To be honest,
episode 5, but we're just reintroducing ourselves for all the people
the new people
that might not know.
Also, I didn't think we'd make it this far. So,
round of applause. Wait, hold on.
Props to us.
Yes, lad.
So, we left for a little bit to kind of catch up on social media so you guys knew what we were up to. It didn't work the way we planned. And we did the best we could with the time we have. We do have a lot of news stories for you guys. We came extra prepared. And the new news.
What's the new news?
So, the new news is that... You're getting better at that. The new news is that we're going to have soon new logos and music on the podcast. So you're going to hear a very different sound and level and upgrade. And it's going to be amazing.
We're just going through that process of just building up. And those of you that have been like listening since day one.
You're going to listen to a difference.
You're going to be like, yo, like, oh, shit. Y'all been actually plotting on the low, finessing, making those little moves, you know? So.
That's the new news. We're going to have new logo.
New music. And
we're planning new merchandise. So
we're designing some stuff. Your love and your support, the merch will come faster.
Woo! Okay.
Yes, Lord.
So that's the new news corner. Next stop. I will do the Walter Mercado corner. I'm just going to call everything a corner. Walter Mercado corner with Carla. So every episode I try to do a horoscope for like the fun, saucy stuff. Usually saucy. I do Checking Mela's horoscopes, which are in Spanish. But today she hasn't posted hers yet. So I'm doing an actual real Virgo.
Where my Virgos at? It's Virgo season.
For the month of September, all the Virgos, it is Virgo season.
Shout out my Virgos out there.
July sucks for you. August was smooth.
Smooth.
Okay. And this month is busy. But you're ready for it. Happy solar return.
Get your sun. Like, get that vitamin D in.
You're feeling revitalized. Thank you. As the sun returns to your zodiac sign, ready to take on the world and celebrate life. Your ruling planet Mercury is currently in your sign. Oh, how is it that people say Mercury is in retrograde? Retrograde.
Okay.
Yeah. People are like, I'm in a bad mood. I guess Mercury is in retrograde. I feel like I'm pronouncing that wrong.
No. You said retrograde correctly.
Yeah.
But I've never in my life have heard anybody say that.
Are you fucking serious? I hear it all the time. Mercury is in retrograde. There's even a website that says all right, yes.
Question. Is Mercury in retrograde? Oh my God.
Great now.
See, the thing is,
there's a whole ass website. And you go on and it says yes or no.
Hell no. Bro. Bro.
No. Something else must be bumming you out.
Only thing retro I talk about is the retro Jordans.
Oh no, oh god.
Retro Polo.
Someone help me. Por favor, sáquenme de aquí.
Some retro Air Force Ones from 2004.
No. You have way too many shoes. Please stop it.
Mercury is in retrograde.
It's not.
All my sneakerheads out there. All my sneakerheads. All two of you guys.
Why are you bringing this to sneakers? What are you doing?
I just want.
We have come back and we're still arguing over weird stuff.
This will never stop.
No. Welcome. Okay.
I was trying to get all my sneakerheads to spam Carla with a bunch of like sneakers.
Sneakers on the
phone. Yo.
Just get random DMs and sneakers.
Go into Carla's DMs and just shoot her like sneaker emojis.
Oh my god. Okay. Wait. I didn't finish my horoscope. You keep not letting me finish. We're still on the Walter Mercado corner.
It's still on the black baby.
Mercury is currently in your sign, helping you express yourself and keeping you sharp. Especially brilliant ideas are born as Mercury connects with electric Uranus in fellow Earth sign Taurus, September 1st. That same day, sweet and sexy Venus is in your sign, making you feel cute and comfortable while it connects with the planet of commitment. Oh my god. So if this month you're suddenly dating someone and you're feeling like your relationship's getting suddenly committed, it's all universo. Like, there's nothing you can do about it.
Or your boyfriend is just really clingy.
This is wonderful. Uranus influences finds you feeling free. But Saturn is supportive. What a beautiful way to start the month. So your relationship is going good. I'm like literally every other sign.
In theory,
if this is actually true, but that is the end. I don't know why it ends like that. But that is all for Walter Mercado Corner.
Skirt.
So I'm excited.
Why are you?
You know what's our topic today?
What's our topic? I want you to introduce the topic.
So our topic today is what the fuck Latin genres.
I can't say genres in Spanish.
Genre, género. So we took our sweetest time, and this is something that we didn't plan it would take us this long to do research for.
Yo, when you stop and like really look at all the nuances of like
this shit is complicated.
There's so many. So the thing, at least for me, there's so many different people and figures. It isn't just one person that helps push the genre and helps bring it to the light. It's literally a tribe of people.
Yeah.
And everybody has their own little sazón that they add to that caldo.
But the thing is that even just like time-wise, like you have to find the names of people in like a 30-year span. They were born even before we were born.
Dude, there was people. And the thing is with the music that we're touching upon, There's music that dates back like even older than those artists. Like way before their time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like we're being mad vague. Like, so what music are we talking about?
So I am going to do the, I don't want to say Puerto Rican, but I'm going to say just like the genre of reggaeton.
Okay. And I'm kind of piggybacking off of reggaeton and reggaeton's origins just to keep it all in the same kind of like in the same light, mm-hmm. I'm doing the genre now known as dembow,
which is a Dominican genre.
It is.
And we discovered this through our research, our sense of research.
There is, I don't even know where to start. There's so much to talk about in regard, just even the word dembow.
I know.
And the origins of it is like.
I think I'm talking about it.
It's not even a Spanish word.
It's not. But let's get started with the story before we continue being vague.
Shut up.
Okay. So, like I mentioned before, I will be starting with the history of reggaeton.
And I will be piggybacking off that. And y'all gonna see. I got some info. I got some tea for y'all.
So, doing the history of reggaeton, I got lucky enough that I found a whole ass lecture.
Dude, no.
From a reggaeton historian from Berklee College of Music. And his name is Wayne Marshall. He actually has a whole ass book on just like the history of reggaeton.
Yep, and all the artists and all the different guys and players.
And he did the research. He grew up and was born and raised here in Massachusetts, which I think is fun.
Ooh, wait, he's from Mass. Wait, yeah. Cambridge?
I don't know.
What part of Mass? No?
No. Like Peabody, something like
Peabody.
That.
Peabody. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, he's right up the road, man.
Yeah. So he's here from Massachusetts. He is not Latino, which I found very interesting. But as a researcher, he actually lived in Jamaica. He lived in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if he mentioned living in...
I don't think he went down to like Panama.
No.
And lived in any other
places. No, I was going to say not Dominican. I don't think he went to Dominican, but he did a lot of his research in the Caribbean just like to understand the path of this history and like where and how this beat comes from.
Ooh, you want to call it a beat?
Well, for me, it is a beat.
It is a beat.
For reggaeton, it's a beat.
Okay.
And for you, it's something else. But okay. So we're starting the story in Jamaica, 1985. So we have the first song ever that kind of starts this transition and was a song that was different from your usual like Jamaican vibe kind of music.
It's a different rhythm.
It is a different rhythm. And it's basically
Yo. If I have any Jamaican listeners out there,
please
excuse my horrible Jamaican accent.
Oh my god, I love
in the patois. that I obviously do not know how to speak, and I mean no disrespect.
But you're mad disrespectful.
What the fuck, bro?
Okay. So this song comes out, it's called Slang Tang.
Slang Tang.
Slang Tang. Yeah, I can't pronounce it. I apologize Slang for pronunciations tang. Because I freaking suck. Anyways. Yes, so it's called Slang Tang.
Slang Tang rhythm.
And it was one of the songs that was first, recorded in the Casio Digital. So it's the 80s. We're starting to have cassettes and this stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And this is the first like Jamaican song that is recorded and digitalized. And so it became really popular and it spread like wild, like fast. So something really interesting about the rhythm and is that this rhythm was used in like protests. This kind of music, this kind of song, was similar to others that were used in protests. And so the way that they would create the rhythm is that they basically had like a loud music or like they had like a loud beat and then they would have a DJ that would just move like instead of scratching. Like the usual DJs that we think about, or whatever they do. What this DJ does is that he brings up and down the volume to create the ba, 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 because he's playing with the volume. So as he plays with the volume and people sing, he creates a beat like on the spot. And so that beat on the spot is recorded and digitalized.
Okay, so he's dubbing that and grabbing it, putting it on a cassette.
Yes.
All right. All right.
So, this song had preset tracks and drums, which is, again, like, the first time that we're seeing this, like,
Priesthood as in what, like the actual.
Yeah, so you know how when you play with like computer programs and stuff like that, or like when you have like the fake drums that's like you
click. That's already in there, already yeah. made in there. Okay.
Yeah, like the fake drums that you hit on a keyboard and they have like mm-hmm. a drum sound. So they have that and they were using the drums to create the beat of. But it wasn't a real instrument. It was the computer's drum.
Okay.
So that was interesting as well to find. And then...
I mean, back then they were lacking in technology.
Yeah.
So you kind of had to be really resourceful and use
and creative when you think about it.
You definitely had to be creative and you had to be passionate about what you were creating.
Yeah. Something really cool about this too is that... And that really made this song like stand out from others is that... They made it in the studio and then they tested in the public. I remember the guy mentioning that they would go, I don't want to call it clubs, but kind of like to group gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
And they played the song and it was so popular that people kept asking it to be played over and over again. So,
okay, so it starts to gain traction.
Before it was actually like, como digo, like put out there for like the public for like disquera.
Mm-hmm.
First, it was a song that was tested in like a small group of people, and since they liked the sound, then they made it public to like everybody.
Okay.
So it was a song that was tested. People liked it, and then they like published it.
And then they slowly like okay.
Yeah. So that was really cool, and then so that song played all night because people liked it. Besides drums, they were also using keyboard chords. And so this song specifically is where we have the classic reggaeton beat.
What beat is this that you speak of?
So dun 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 dun. So this beat goes in a loop, and it's the first time that because it's digitalized and they don't have to like constantly do this, they basically just took that beat. And that was like a scratch beat, and then they would put other instruments on top. But this core beat would later be stripped and utilized in other genres as well.
All right, because I know a little bit about beat making. So they grab that initial tra. Beat, would loop it.
Tra, da, and, dun, dun, tra, da, dun, dun. So that beat, that's from this song. This is a Jamaican, it's originally a Jamaican beat.
So what's the name of the song? Just because we can't play it for you guys, because we'll probably get hit with a copyright.
Copyright, but it's called Slang 10. So you.
Like, who's the artist?
By Wayne Smith.
Wayne Smith. So definitely, just so you can get like an actual
idea of what the song was, you can go and listen to it.
And as soon as you listen to the song, it hits you. It's like, yo, I've heard that 100 million times.
Well, I wouldn't say 100 million times because I've never heard it, and I'm from the Caribbean, so.
No. But you're,
the beat,
the rhythm itself, and the way the drums are placed and how it hits.
Yeah.
It's something that's here's been
my
sampled.
Usual. Eating noise because I'm always eating in recordings for some reason. Okay.
Hunger is real.
I know. Okay. So after this, I already mentioned this is that they previously used this type of music as a political movement in Jamaica. So groups of people will gather and use this type of beat moving up and down the volume to protest, etc.
Okay.
So people were like familiar with the music.
Well, a lot of reggae in nature is very political.
Yeah.
And it is politically charged and it's anti whatever it is that they're trying to promote time.
I wouldn't say even just political because later on I'm going to talk a little bit about even just idealistic. No, it's going to fall. There it fell. This spot is close. Idealistic, like, I'll talk a little bit about a song that's, like, anti-gay protester.
Shabba Ranks.
And they just use this music a lot to, like, put out an idea or, like, a value that they really want to represent.
They share, yeah.
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 Okay.
I mean, what better way to, like, do things like that than through music?
So, this was in the 1980s. Now we're going to travel to the 1990s. 1990 to be exact.
1990 what? 90. 1990 is the year.
So I'm going to talk a little about a dancehall reggae. And this is where you start seeing that development.
Dancehall reggae.
So dancehall reggae is a little bit more like fast-paced than like, I want to say regular like...
Like the regular Jamaican island, the Bob Marley smooth vibes.
Yeah, so they're basically like slow and move, and you have the beat, but it's a little bit slower. While dancehall reggae, like it says, it's like the name,
about the wild island.
Yeah, like the name says, it's dancehall. People go and like dance to this music. So in the 1990s is when this genre, I guess, starts developing a little bit more. And since we're starting to have internet and technology, this beat that we're talking about, this is the base of the reggaeton beat, is built into the music track and becomes traditionally and globally known. So then we have this song that's called Pokemon, Pokemon Jam Riding. Oh my god, I apologize. Pokemon Jam. Say it in your accent.
I'm not saying it in my accent.
Say it in the accent.
Definitely not saying it.
You just laughed at me, so you have to do it.
I'm definitely not saying it in the accent. Hold on. Where you talking about Pokemon? Pokemon Jam Rhythm.
Okay, there you go. By Steely and Cleavy.
And Cleavy.
So they throw out this song. In 1990, this song has even a higher definition of the beat. So, dun, 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 dun. And people start dancing to this.
Okay.
So now you start seeing, instead of just being like listened to, people are dancing to a specific beat.
You have more rhythm to it.
Yes.
It's something for you to vibe to.
Yes.
Get jiggy with it.
Yes.
It's crazy because my first, I'm going to segue off of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But my first experience... with dance hall.
With the hall?
With dance hall.
Con el da hall.
Da hall.
Mm-hmm.
It was through one of my friends in like middle school. His name was Joel.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, this kid loved dance hall music.
Really?
He sat down one day. He broke down to me all the different rhythms. And I guess, I don't know how he was like learning, but mm-hmm. he was on it. He had... this crazy catalog of all these different rhythms that were named of they were named after like funny shit, like the Red Bull rhythm,
sky high
rhythm,
oh yeah,
ice cold rhythm,
yep,
leg breaker rhythm.
Well, that's so, what's so interesting about this is that you'll have at least with dance halls, you'll have a rhythm and then you'll have DJs just twist that rhythm into so many different songs,
so
which is something that I feel like I don't understand in a sense, because this is a culture that you don't follow an artist for the specific music, but you do follow more DJs because of what they make with their music, which is interesting.
Well, what I've at least back in the day, how do I say it? No, I'm trying to think. So, back in those times, the DJ was the prominent figure.
Mm-hmm.
The music didn't move without the DJ.
But isn't that weird?
It kind of makes sense, though. Because, yeah, you can make music, but it's like, that's it.
Mm.
Especially in those times, how do you get that music out? You need somebody to facilitate that.
That is true.
And that's what the DJ was. And these rhythms were like, essentially a rhythm is like an instrumental.
Because
a lot of old dancehall tapes...
Mm-hmm.
We'll have this rhythm,
mm-hmm.
and then 10 different artists doing their version of that, well, that rhythm.
I am going to talk about that a little bit further on, so I'll let you know. So we got the dancehall reggae, we got the song, and this song already has this established steady kick drum that reggaeton has. So the rhythm that I keep saying, the boom, 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 this rhythm, this song has it. So then that was the 90s, right? During this late 80s, early 90s era, then we start seeing the popularity of reggae music going down to Panama, which I personally found this really interesting because I've heard a lot of, like, I don't want to say war, but a lot of competition between Puerto Ricans and Panamanians.
Panamanians.
Thank you. Because just like salsa and Puerto Rican, Cubans and Puerto Ricans always argue who really originated salsa. Mm-hmm.
Which that is a completely, that's an episode on its own.
I know, but I'm saying like, and then Panamanians and Puerto Ricans argue of who's to take the credit for reggaeton.
I feel like there is no argument.
Yes and no.
I feel like when you have the floor, so you can talk.
You can't tell my story, like, you know.
Nah, because I actually know a little bit about like about how the Jamaican music ends up traveling to where it travels to in Panama.
Yeah, I'm about to tell you right now. So. So around 1991, reggae albums actually start traveling through families, obviously.
You also have Jamaican settlers that, mm-hmm. that were working on the Panama Canal, mm-hmm. Those people that were working there in Panama, mm-hmm. never migrated back to Jamaica. Mm-hmm. They ended up staying there, keeping and bringing their culture.
Oh, that's really interesting. Well, that's another thing that's really interesting about this case and, like, the development of this music genres is that we have, like, the main floor for this rhythms to develop is, like, it's basically everything in New York. Like, we do have this music being produced in Jamaica and, like, we have the beat is from Jamaica. And then once we travel to 1991, we start having artists, which I'm going to focus a little bit on El General, his parents are Jamaican, but he is Panamanian, and he starts taking Jamaican music and then translating it into Spanish, doing the exact same music in Spanish.
So they were doing covers, basically.
Basically, yeah. But translated, which is really interesting. So then you have a huge population in New York, mm-hmm. As always, of Dominican, Puerto Ricans, Panamanians, and Jamaicans who are enjoying this popular music from Jamaica. But then in Panama, you start having the artist translating into Spanish and sending it over. So in New York, you have a focus of Spanish and English Jamaican music. Mm-hmm. And very popular in 91. Alongside Panamanians, Jamaicans and Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, we have an album in 1989 that's called Reggae Español, and that's how people used to listen to it. Mm-hmm. It would be just like a CD record, and it was Reggae en Español, and that was by him.
By who? By El General?
By El General, yeah. And so if you listen to his song that's called Tu Pum Pum, you can actually listen to. Oh, you know the song? Yeah, go.
No, go. Nah, I ain't gonna sing it.
Go. Nah, I need the beat. Come on.
Nah, you good on that?
No.
Nah, cause I
did. Then why you start, bro?
Cause I just know the first couple words, fam. That's all I know.
Okay. So then. Yeah, that's really interesting that we just have the genre doesn't change though yet. We just have reggae en español. So after we have reggae en español, we're gonna do a little jump to, I don't wanna call it a genre, but a very important song that definitely has a huge definition in Puerto Rican, Dominican, well, and all, like,
and all Caribbean, all like, music, Caribbean because we, cultures,
all of our different music genres actually use this beat, and it's going to be Dembow. So, this is so intriguing to me, because this is a Jamaican song that means a thing, or, like, the song itself has a meaning, mm-hmm. but it means a very different thing to Jamaicans and Latinos.
Completely different.
So this song became a foundation sample.
Wait. So the song is
Jamaican.
The artist is Shabo Ranks.
Okay.
So if you know, if
there's, yeah, I have it here.
if you know who Shabba Ranks is, you know that he's like a pioneer in Jamaican music. Mm-hmm. And the song is by him. So
yeah.
My bad. I didn't want to cut you off. I love Shabba Ranks. And I know, I don't know if you noticed, but the whole episode I've been kind of like, Shabba Ranks.
No.
I've been throwing in that little ad lib.
Oh my God.
So I'm a huge fan. Just letting you know. Just letting you know.
This specific song by him, which is called Dembo, no. I see you. Became a sample and it was named after his song. It was heavily utilized in dance hall. And so this is where it gets kind of confusing a little bit, is that Dembo in translated means something like wrong bowel position. So when you're bowing, like when you're bending.
Mm-hmm.
And it was highly considered an anti-gay song. So it was basically like shaming how you shouldn't bend over and you shouldn't do like illicit gay actions.
Okay, so it was protesting like homosexuality in Jamaica, yes. Essentially.
And so if you have a conversation with someone who's Jamaican and you talk about how much you love Dembo, then they're going to be like, what are you talking about? Like, that's
not what Dembo is.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not something that we like to think about and stuff like
so,
that.
So essentially, like, Panamanians, Puerto Ricans, and Dominicans took the word Dembo, but when you say Dembo, you're really associating it with the beat.
Yeah. I'm going to get to that. First, I first want to make clear that that's what the original Shabba Ranks song is. It's Dembo, mm-hmm. And it is a anti-gay song.
It's a protest song.
Yes.
With a fire-ass kick drum and bass line. And yes. That shit doesn't have a bass line, but the drums are fire.
Yes. So when this song was remade by the Panamanian artists in Spanish, they mm-hmm. actually had changed the wording. And it was super... of course, all of this is happening in New York. They tried to remake it in Spanish. And you know, some of the wording is a little bit different because mm-hmm. they just talk about like dancing.
Yeah, of course.
And they take out like that gay...
The homosexual
kind of like aspect of it. But then they actually went back to the studio and remade the original track. And mm-hmm. so they made it in Spanish with the original message of homosexuality, which is really interesting to me, is that he wanted to make like the dance song type of like the fun vibe. But at the same time.
Are we still talking about El Hernad?
Yeah.
Okay.
But at the same time. No, Shabba Ranks.
Oh, Dembo. So Shabba Ranks remade the song?
No. I think El General did remake it.
Okay.
No. Lies. Nando Boom made a cover.
Okay.
So Nando Boom why you keep like jumping? I'm getting into things. Stop it. Stop being excited. So Nando Boom made the cover of Dembo in Spanish. Which sounds exactly like reggaeton. And I remember that when I was listening to it, it actually reminded me of Dembo by Wisin y Yandel. And I remember that we were talking about it while we were doing research. It sounds exactly the same, which is crazy.
It's funny because I think right after that, because we had paused the research video.
Yeah.
And like shortly after that, he brings up that track and makes that comparison.
Yeah, well, not shortly, a little bit after, because there's a few more songs, but yeah, I know what you mean. Okay, so Nando Boom makes a cover in Spanish in New York, and he made one that was like a cleaner version, and then he made one that was the exact message in English of the mm-hmm. heterosexual, because they wanted to keep the message of the original artist intact.
Yeah, because the Panamanians were really trying to like... create exact covers of
and this is really important.
Reggae songs.
Yeah. Yes. And this is really important because the Panamanian artists weren't really trying to experiment with the music. They were just making the exact covers in Spanish. They were keeping it in its original content and like they were trying to give as much credit to like the original artist, Jamaican artist, mm-hmm. which I think is really cool. Okay. So keeping up with Dembo, El General also made his own Pan-African version, talking about the General. So we were talking about Nando Boom, who made his cover in Spanish, and then El General made his own Spanish version again. And this is where, for the first time in this type of music, you start hearing credits. So when the song is starting, he starts saying, this is for Panama, Canada, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, Colombia, and all the hot ladies and stuff like that.
Okay, so he throws a shout out.
Yeah, so he starts doing shout outs in the album, which is super interesting because we didn't have that in music before. Mm-hmm. And when you listen to literally any reggaeton or trap music ever, they're all like Looney Tunes, blah, blah, blah. And this like Panamanian artist is the one that started it all, which is mind-blowing.
He started giving out shout-outs and like...
Yeah, he said Panama, Canada, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, Colombia.
Yeah.
And like we were mentioning before, when you say you love Dembo in any of these Caribbean islands, is that we love the beat. We love that boom, 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 boom. This drums, is a truck. Rhythm, it's fun. That's kind of like our consideration of Dembo. For Jamaicans, the definition of Dembo is more of this original Shabba Ranks song.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is where we get to my part.
To your part.
What's your part? So far, we have the history of how this kind of like beat transitioned from Jamaica to Panama to New York. And now we got the Mexican. They were there too. It's okay.
Yo, my Puerto Ricans, I've been told you. Y'all look like Mexicans.
Yo, there
is nothing wrong with that. It was just a joke. Relax.
You just got us like someone's like already like mean? Sending hate mail. Okay.
My stepfather's Mexican.
Puerto Rican importance. So this is where it gets even more complicated because it's just layers on top of layers. So we have Panamanians doing the same Jamaican music in Spanish. And so people are enjoying and dancing to it, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But you have the Puerto Ricans in New York and they start... They love this music, but they start taking a different context to it and bringing this hip-hop mindset into it.
I was just about to say that. I feel like what the Puerto Ricans in the Bronx essentially did is what a lot of rappers nowadays do. Mm-hmm. So you take a beat and you make it your own. You flip it. You drop a freestyle on it.
Well, yeah. So basically, I'm like, blah, 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 blah. So... At this time in the, I want to say like mid-90s and early 2000s, we already have this beat that's called Dembo, and it's the boom, 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 boom. Panamanians haven't really played with the beat, like mixing and matching or anything like that. They keep the same beat during the song to keep it original. And Puerto Ricans, with everything, they're like, you know what we're going to do? We want to do what we want with this beat. So, this Jamaican original music starts to come into San Juan party scene, and they were played in New York as well. And because they were bringing their hip hop perspective into it, they started to sample different loops into one song, and this means that they would have 8 dance halls in one song, not only just reggae. So in one song that these Puerto Rican DJs would have hip hop for like 3 seconds and then dance hall and then like hip hop again and then 3 more dance halls and they would have 8 freaking songs and like 8 different. Oh my God, I lost my train of thought.
So I feel like what you're trying to say is that when they were creating these beats, it would start off with one rhythm, kind of go into it, and they would mesh it with another rhythm.
Yeah, but
and
abruptly.
Then and then layered on top of that, there would be elements from, like, United States hip-hop.
Not even on top of it, like, just, like, a beat of a hip-hop song.
So they would chop up, or like,
like a random drum sound or like something and then mesh it in quickly, go out into another song, kind of keep going with that.
But that's kind of impressive.
It almost sounds like a musical collage.
Yeah.
Like they're taking sounds and putting them together and they might not all go together by themselves, but when you mesh them, it creates this seamless just stream of
life. It was not seamless because when you think about it, it's all beats. And that's pop, pop, pop. And then you got boom. And then you have hip hop. And then you go back to pop, pop, pop.
When I say seamless, I just feel like it meshed well. I don't know. Like when I hear some of those old DJ Playero songs where he is doing that, it's like it does go from one beat to the next.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that the artist is rapping on it just kind of transitions well. And sometimes you don't even notice that the beat changed.
So, when I was doing the research for this, it's kind of funny that you say DJ Playero, because we were listening to a few songs, and I was like, yo, this reminds me of DJ Playero, like, type of, like, beat, and, like, it suddenly breaks, and then it starts another beat.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where we're going to start talking about DJ Playero in New York. So, DJ Playero actually had a graffiti background influence, and...
It's the Bronx, baby!
He started doing all this... Was it even in the Bronx?
You know, no. It was definitely in the Bronx because everybody knows that all my Puerto Ricans in New York.
You ain't even Puerto Rican.
What do you mean? So, for those of you, I can't incriminate myself on here, but graffiti art is a beautiful art that originated in the South Bronx along with hip hop. We just gonna leave it at that.
He's so passionate about this. Okay.
It's the South Bronx. You're my bad. I be going on my tangents.
Yeah. And then he started becoming very popular, and he has a specific album that's called Underground.
Underground.
And this is where we see Daddy Yankee for the first time in the 90s.
I know which one you're talking about,
This was amazing. So we actually went and listened to it. Yo, guys, go listen to it. It's DJ Playero 37. The song is called Ragamuffin Mix.
You know what I found the most interesting about it was that when you look at the cover, it's like this hand drawn cover, and you can't even relate it back to like Puerto Rico. It's like this song.
Oh no, it's very like New York.
It's New York. It has a skyline full of color. The graffiti letters in the background have like those island flavors, but it's just. It was mind-boggling to see that they drew so much from that New York culture.
Yeah. So that's why I find it so interesting that people can paint like, oh no, it's Panamanian, it's like Puerto Rican. I don't think, in my personal opinion, I don't think it's either. I think it's New York culture, kind of like hip hop.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is New York, and then its development just went to other countries.
I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like everybody has their piece to the puzzle that they've added to create the sound.
But it was created in New York. New York is a hot pot of like all these cultures.
No. Yeah, definitely. So that's. I think that the key ingredient there is that location was a melting pot of Jamaicans, Panamanians, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
And along with that, you have hip hop going on simultaneously. And they're drawing from all that. So.
Yeah. So. Okay, you keep distracting me. Yeah. So this song is called Ragamuffin Mix. And it's super interesting because then we see Young Daddy Yankee singing really fast. And to the point that he kind of sounds like he has like a similar Jamaican beat. But he doesn't have the accent. He's just like rapping so fast that he sounds like his tone of voice sounds kind of like Jamaican-ish.
Okay.
If that makes sense. He was just rapping super fast.
When he's rapping, it feels like he's borrowing the flow and the cadence from those Jamaican artists.
And so in 1996, this is one of my favorite things ever. is we have the music videos for from the Noice rapper.
No, so the Noice is a collective.
Oh yes, yes, you're right, you're right.
A collective of DJs. You have DJ Nelson and DJ Negro, both Puerto Rican DJs.
Yes. And so in this video, we like to emphasize that you have Ivy Queen and you have a Yankee and you have all his artists are in New York City. You don't see any Caribbean influence in this music video. You just see them playing in the snow with big chains, big jackets, like riding on the train, and it doesn't feel Caribbean. It just feels New Yorkish. It feels hip hop. It feels heavy. It feels real street. It feels real like gangster. It's not Latino. It doesn't feel like spicier, like dance hall. You can feel like the beat. In this video, they were expressing themselves like hip hop artists.
True,
which is super interesting. And then talking about Ivy Queen. Ivy Queen is the queen. Something really interesting.
The queen.
The queen, la caballota, la potra. Everybody knows it. So something that I personally love about this genre in specific is that because of her, she's laid the path for other artists to be able to, like, we hear about, ¿cómo que se llama la novia de Anuel?
Karol G,
Becky G, tanto con la G. Nati Natasha, todas estas raperas que tenemos, Rosalía, todas estas raperas que
tenemos. Way more than I do.
That's all I know.
Only female rappers I know within the Spanish genre are like La Materialista.
Oh, very Dominican, yes.
Very Dominican. There's a few other ones that I can't remember off the top of my head, but.
Yeah, that's all I know, but. They wouldn't be here if Ivy Queen wouldn't have started in the fucking 90s. And it's something actually really funny because while watching this video, the way she was dressed was horrible. And
stop hating. She had that 90s.
Early 2000s, she would dress like one of the guys. So she would wear t-shirts and like
the bow jeans.
Like baggy jeans and the sneakers and the chains. And then you can see her fashion development as she like grew more confident in her singing and stuff, which I think is cool. And even though a lot of people didn't like this type of reggae and Spanish and reggaeton music because it was like degrading towards women, it's one of the few genres in like worldwide that has actually had women singers from the beginning of the genre.
Okay, so they were always a part of it. They were never excluded. No. They weren't kind of just pushed to the side. And, no. Okay.
They were part of it, which.
That's dope as shit. Hell yeah.
Right?
Hell yeah.
Okay. So now we're leaving the 90s and we're going like straight down to 2004. Well, 2004. So you know how I was just talking about Looney Tunes? Mm-hmm. We're going to focus on Looney Tunes.
Con más flow.
So Looney Tunes is this two guys that were born in Dominican Republic. They traveled and lived in Puerto Rico for like a short period of time. And then guess where they moved? They moved to freaking Massachusetts. Yo, everybody be saying that all the Latinos are in freaking Florida, but Massachusetts is so packed of Latinos.
New York, too, though.
New York is Latino. Like,
now you're going to talk about that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, and then they moved to Massachusetts, ironically enough. During this period of time, they... Oh, no. What happened? Oh.
technical difficulties.
Yeah. During this period of time, they were actually working in Harvard Dining. So they were working in like the La Universidad.
Wait, like
of Harvard University, like the big, like rich people. They were working dining, so they were doing like average stuff. But as they were doing this, they were communicating with producers in Puerto Rico. Till
Mass Flow.
And then until they became like the best.
I didn't want to like.
No, dale, yeah.
I didn't want to interrupt you because like, so early on when I was growing up, my sister was like a huge musical influence on me. Mm-hmm. And one of the CDs that she somehow brought into the house was Looney Tunes, Con Más Flow, I think it was volume 2.
They had a lot of volumes.
The one that stuck out to me the most was volume 2. And that's where, like, I grew to love reggaeton. That's where I had, like, old school Daddy Yankee, old school just everybody. There's too many people to name on that project.
Yeah, they were very famous during this time. I feel like they fell off a little bit after. But they were the it's to go to in like this period of
early 2000s. Oh no, definitely. That sound is like that. It was synonymous with reggaeton in my mind. Whenever I thought of reggaeton, I would go back to that Looney Tunes CD that I grew up on.
Definitely.
And it felt like a sin when I was listening to that shit.
So
because it was so gutter, grimy.
They became during this time. They like I was mentioning. They became the best when it came to producing reggaeton artists. Mm-hmm. And around this period of time is when they actually start to call it reggaeton, because el reggae is from like Jamaican reggae, uh-huh. And we have reggae en español. And then it's gotten to the point where it's not reggae anymore because it's not this one beat. It's a mix of reggae and hip-hop, and there's even some salsa instruments. Like, it's just a mix of everything. So it became its own entity and named reggaeton.
That's crazy.
Right?
I just slowly started to, like, develop and just push that envelope.
Yeah. So now that it's 2004, they since they were producers, they were doing it digitalized, and they were one of the few that were doing this. They started utilizing less samples in the 90s. So in the 90s, mm-hmm. Like I mentioned, they would have 8 samples.
Oh, sample heavy. Really sample heavy.
Like, 8 canciones en 3 minutos. That's too much, in my personal opinion.
Damn, it's funny. I want to mention something, but I'll mention it when it's my turn to...
When it's your turn. Okay.
To speak.
So they start reducing it to like 3 or 4 maybe instead of 8, so less than half.
Mm-hmm.
Reducing samples. What? Samples. So okay. They would have like a dance hall and then a hip hop and then a dance hall and then that's it.
Okay.
With the beats. But it was still varied enough and danceable enough that it was like super nice. And they did implement more changes in like the drums. They implemented more like natural sound drums instead of like the regular computer
beat. Well, no, obviously sonically the sound developed over the years.
And so a song where you can definitely hear the difference of like the 90s is La Canción Yo Te Buscaba por Héctor y Tito, which is definitely more polished and you can hear like a smoother transition between songs.
Mm-hmm.
So after this, in 2004, Noriega, which we were talking about this, the Noriega I know is a Spanish like rapper, but Joshua was
the
more...
Noriega I know is mm-hmm. a real gutter gangster rapper from Queens, New York.
And
Carla had no idea. Like the first album I've ever heard from Noriega is this album called The War Report.
Nope.
And it kind of like, I don't even want to go and segue into that, but it's that's the Noriega I know. It's more gutter. It's grimy. It's New York.
Well.
And it's New York street culture too. It's not like the glittery, the glitzy and the glamour stuff. It's like real hood, gutter, street shit.
Well, this is the problem when it comes when we grow up in such different places with the same culture is that my culture is a Latin vibe, slow beach, piña coladas, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And you have, even though you're here in Massachusetts, you have such a higher influence of like African-American hip hop culture in the Latino culture, because when Latinos started like moving towards the United States, mm-hmm. this is the locations where Latinos mostly populated. It was like, como digo, I don't want to say like unwanted, but like they basically established with like African American communities.
Mm-hmm.
So it became Latino and African Americans.
Mm-hmm. And
slowly
started to mesh in together.
People who grow up here have a better understanding and better love for hip hop, which I don't have because I didn't grow up listening to that.
No, I feel you. I feel like just in the case of Noriega, mm-hmm. me being Latino and then also living here allowed me to, like, one, see his development and growth as an artist. Mm-hmm. So I got to see the street.
Do you
and
see then, him as an example, like a Latino that you wanted to, like, follow?
You know what's crazy? I didn't even know he was, like, Puerto Rican for the longest.
Really?
It was weird because when I would listen, I was a kid. So obviously I wasn't capturing all the small but nuances.
What do you think he was? Like,
no, I honestly thought he was African American just because the dialect, how he would speak. Mm-hmm. But once again, I wasn't fully capturing the music as a kid. Mm-hmm. Once I grew up a little bit more, I start noticing things. I'm like, oh, wait, like, you've mentioned that you're Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. The way you act, the, you know, you always showing love to Puerto Ricans. Mm-hmm. And then I think that 04 era, when he comes out with that song, mm-hmm. I kind of put those puzzle pieces together.
Yep. So,
So I feel like growing up here, you just get a different perspective. You get to see more of it.
Wait, like a more connection with African-American culture. Than I do, at least.
Nah, especially with hip-hop. Hip-hop is, like...
We have more of a native, like, Indio-Taino type of connection. I know that I have so much, Indio-Taino history that you don't even know about your Indio-Tainos in Dominican Republic. You don't know all the freaking, like, cool-ass shit they would do.
You
don't know about that. I don't know about, like, the African-American side of here, of the United States.
But, damn, let's keep talking about music because I feel like we're going to segue into something else.
No. Like, I'm just saying, like, I don't know because I didn't grow up with it.
Nah, and then like, vice versa. Like, I don't know much about the Indians and Taínos and things like that and PR, those mm-hmm. native people.
And DR. And we DR have the also. Same
no,
ones.
I understand. Yeah. Yeah, I know that.
Okay. Let me do this real quick because we've been talking for, like, forever. So, para hacerle cuento corto largo. Noriega came out with this song that's called, Oye Mi Canto with Daddy Yankee, and was more known, worldwide. It was, like, the first Latin song.
It was one of those Latin pop songs, almost.
It was, yes. It was Latin pop, and it actually became known worldwide.
That song?
Which was mind-blowing for this specific genre. And this specific artist, like, you, it was, like, the big hit.
It was crazy
for this artist.
It was then, crazy too, because the video felt grand also, and it just it had that vibe to it. You can
cuento,
go. You can
cuento
go.
Corto largo. Yeah. So, the person that was doing this lecture, Wayne Marshall, he was talking about how. Even he was, like, born here in Massachusetts and grew up, and it was the first time that he heard Spanish on the radio. And he was, like, shocked that what do you mean this, like a Spanish speaker on the radio? Mm-hmm. Like, that is so unheard of in this area. Because in New York, they have more Spanish speakers. But here in Massachusetts, that it's not
era. It's concentrated in certain areas.
Yeah, but around this era specifically, I feel like there was less of a population as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so Oye Mi Canto increased fue como esa puerta que abrió for Spanish speaking artists. And so his music video, like you were talking about, is like filled with flags and like sexy ladies and
women of all colors and different countries.
Yeah, like it was very like nationwide type of song, and they were actually number 12 in the top 100 billboards. 12 of 100, which is pretty high for like a Latin song in this time.
No, hell yeah, especially in that year.
So something that also makes me interesting is that because he had like sexy women dancing in like their bathing suits, some people were finding it as objectifying women, but also established the reputation for sexy dancing music for reggaeton.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sexual. It's very sexy. It's something just, que tú te pega a la otra persona,
yeah,
and like
you're
sending
it.
A body message to your like your dancing partner.
Yeah, of course.
And something that he didn't really talk about a lot, that he just kind of touched upon was that reggaeton up to this point was not very liked in the Latino community. Mm-hmm. And you, when you have artistas like Tego Calderon and like more of like Afro-Latino artists, mm-hmm. Reggaeton and with this hip-hop influence was more of a Black Latino ghetto ass music. So there's Black ghetto Latinos were stereotyped to be the ones developing this type of music.
Okay.
And so when this song came out and became popular and it became sexy and attractive and for all types of people, then it kind of took off the stigma that only like ghetto people or like people from like a drug related
well that the
cultures are the ones who are doing reggaeton.
When you say ghetto, do you mean the content of the music or do you just mean the people creating the music?
The people creating the music. So I'm thinking of caserios, of like people that sell drugs and have guns, mm-hmm. and like this underground type of culture. Well, people didn't like reggaeton because hablaba vulgar. Mm-hmm. And it was objectifying and it wasn't classy. So like,
yeah,
it wasn't well seen. And then when this song came out, it was from distasteful to sexy and attractive.
But don't you feel like that's almost minimizing the individuals that did grow up in those environments?
Yeah.
But
this isn't me saying it. This is like the culture. Like when you were little listening.
No, not the culture. You mean the outsiders looking into the culture.
No, because this is Latino to Latinos.
Latino. Oh, so you feel like.
Yeah. Like as a little girl, I remember listening to some of these songs and my mom would be like, quítalo, because I don't want you listening to that type of music and you grow up talking like that. Like talking about like.
I see what you mean. I see what you mean.
So it was distasteful in a sense to people to because certain
people, yeah,
because they weren't used to that vocabulary.
Yeah, it's definitely same thing with like
it had like the aggressiveness of hip hop,
mm-hmm.
and it, people like, weren't used to it and they didn't like it.
Yeah, makes sense.
But again, cuando esta canción salió, it made it it went from like ghetto to attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And
the culture vultures start pulling up.
Yeah. And so after this, we have Reggaeton Latino by Don Omar, which was also like super popular. Gave it more of a it's everybody's music. It represents everybody. Then we have Gasolina came out in that same year. And then we have La Canción Dembow by Wisin y Yandel, in which they did the same thing that En General, in which dijeron, esto es para los boricua, Nueva York, Latinos, mm-hmm. and they do the shout out thing.
Okay. But think, look at who he's mentioning, like
his people, his yeah,
people, but yeah. Like New Yorkers,
New York, yeah,
New York, like that's like a huge
Nueva York, yeah,
huge influence right there. Yeah.
So other little like. That's basically like the end of the history of reggaeton. So after this, they had kind of like an increase of popularity. But mm-hmm. after 2010, reggaeton reduced in popularity. And then we have the development of trap music. And so in a sense, like, ya el reggaeton no se escucha como antes y ya lo que la gente escucha más el trap como Bad Bunny y Anuel, Ozuna. Ellos cogieron y como que they took over ese género y lo desarrollaron en otra cosa.
It's crazy though, because that ese género originates, like, I feel like it has its origins in New York.
Yeah.
With Altita como Mencia.
Mm-hmm.
And people like Tali Goya. People we've never even heard of.
Yeah, I know. I don't know who they are.
You ever heard of Ñengo Flow?
Ñengo
Flow?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. But last tidbits that I have to say is that there's this specific song from El Gran Combo, which is a salsa group in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
They have a song that's called Ojos Chinos. And this specific salsa song has dembow. So it has that dun, 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 dun beat in that salsa song. That
classic dembow, this drum.
Yeah. So the best-selling song of the 21st century is a song that has the dembow beat on it, and it's Shakira's Hips Don't Lie from 2006. So I'm on tonight. So it has the beat. Other songs that are like DJ Scuff, El Dembow del Mafu. DJ Scuff.
You know nothing about DJ Scuff.
I know nothing of the DJ Scuff. I just know that his song El Dembow del Mafu was really popular. Omega, Lo que tiene el Dembow, and these are different songs that are also honoring el ritmo del Dembow. Se bailan con choque o perreo, so you like crash your ass to someone's crotch.
Very, 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 very Jamaican.
Yeah. And so this reggaeton was a really good opportunity if you were a rapper and you wanted to rename yourself. So, por ejemplo, Daddy Yankee empezó como rapeando rápido, and then once this industry started to develop, then they rebranded themselves.
No, of course.
To reggaeton.
I feel like Daddy Yankee has like one of the purest like starts to it though, because he was being brought around to these clubs by DJ Playero, which is like one of the pioneers.
Yeah. So, but then
he was at it when it was at its origin, at its core.
Yeah, but. What I was going to say is that after reggaeton kind of fell down, there was a higher development for artists to basically part of the brand would be música urbana, which is a more open concept instead of not just reggaeton, but música urbana, like more...
Different production style.
Yeah, like more under that category. Mm-hmm. And some songs that you'd never even notice had dembow on them are I'm Sorry by Justin Bieber. Na 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 na. So that beat, del coro, when the beat drops, that's dembow. And The Shape of You, little like bells, dun 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 dun, is dembow. So fun facts for you. And that is all. I am like tired of talking.
Oh my god, you just Carla, you don't like to share the mic, bro. What's up with you, fam?
Yo, I had a lot of info.
Listen, bro, listen. So when I speak about dembow, I'm speaking.
Mira cómo se pega el micrófono.
Dude, mira. Nah, because I'm trying to give you. So my history is brief. We don't really have much time right now in the podcast. So when you speak about dembow making its way to the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of different figures that are like important, but one of the main figures is a DJ known by DJ Boyo.
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 Como una pelota boyo.
I gotta say. So DJ Boyo. So I think as early as 80, I think he said 88, 89, mm-hmm. right? That's when he starts getting influenced and getting like into hip hop and wanting to be a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
But él no comienza a ser DJ until like 91.
Como? Oh, sí, en el 91 era que estaba, ajá.
So he's early in the 90s, and right around that same time, his mother and I believe like one of his brothers by way of his father is also living in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And they start introducing him to reggae music.
Sí, porque en esta época es que...
Because just how you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
the Jamaican... Music ended up in Panama,
mm-hmm.
went to PR, and then you get the these artists that are recording in New York studios that are Puerto Ricans and Dominicans, and that music is like being passed around and just moving in those same circles.
Uh-huh.
So you get DJ Boyo,
mm-hmm.
and he starts getting his hands on this music.
Okay.
He starts sitting down at home, he starts playing with this music.
Okay.
So, in his claims, es que él introdució esa música reggae a lo dominicano.
Okay.
Before him, nobody was touching those records.
Okay.
They couldn't even get their hands on those records. They weren't even records. They were cassettes.
Mm-hmm.
So, his claim is that he brought that to the...
He claims that he brought it. So, what did he do with it?
I thought it was interesting that the music, like, the way it traveled...
Through people in New York. It's all in New York, bro.
All right, so I'm going to just keep this shit real short and sweet. So he just like he.
You don't have to keep it short and sweet.
I'm gonna keep it short and sweet, nah. Because he essentially he starts doing what the Panamanians do. Mm-hmm. He's playing with the beat, speeds them up, learns how to like.
Well, they weren't really playing with the beat like that. Panamanians.
He so DJ Boyo notices that the beat está muy lento. It's too slow. Mm-hmm. So he starts speeding the beat up so you can catch more of a rhythm, more of a tempo.
We dancing fast as fuck.
So he has one of those claims. Dance? Of course not. Can't dance. But nah, so he ends up becoming what you would call like a dembow artist. Mm-hmm. And he starts making music. And uno de los temas que like como que pegó se llama La Gorda. I can't even say it. Buduska.
Buduska?
Buduska is like one of those temas that he ended up pegando.
Do you know when that was?
That's in 2008, but that's like, those are like his claims. Like, those are his songs, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. All right, so whatever. He has his little bullshit songs, but a lot of people tell you that, like, the dembow sound and the music that broke out was this song called Ando Loco in, like, 2006. Mm-hmm. And that kind of just spirals and, like, leads other artists like fucking Pablo Pitti and his producer. They start creating different sounds and adding to the texture that is dembow.
Yeah.
And it further starts to develop in the way that he's rapping and he's mixing in like the hip hop influence with those dembow drums and like that feeling.
So he's just doing what the Puerto Ricans did?
Essentially. And then you have like DJ Skuff. Like one of the themas that got me into dembow is it's almost like a flip of like the old Playero where he had a bunch of different rhythms kind of meshed in together, had Lápiz Consciente on it, and the hook is like talking about weed and how he smells like weed and has that real island vibe and it's just meshed up like that.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of different people and let me see, man. I'm trying to think. Hold up. Because I don't really have much to say to y'all. Carla kind of broke it down. The dembow Dominicano is real simple. It's like a lot of key figures. You have Chimbala. You have the song Pepe that kind of helps bring it into the spotlight.
Yeah,
and then you have people like El Alfa that kind of like he's been developing and helping push that sound forward for the longest.
Well, the main difference between Puerto Rico and Dominican Republic utilizing this is because Puerto Rican just uses as a beat. You have a whole ass genre of artists just do this.
And it's crazy because for the longest, it felt like the Dominican was split between hip-hop purists because they also have a side in DR where they focus on lyrics and rapping. And then Bo was more fun. It had the long choruses.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they were fun, jokey. You know, had that little flow to it.
Yeah,
that's all I got. I really don't got much.
Woo! Thank you so much for listening, guys. I hope you enjoyed. Have a great week.
Yeah.
Get your shit together like us. Don't procrastinate like us. And if you want to know more information about us, you can follow us on Insta at WTF Latinx. You can also follow us on Twitter. And if you have any feedback, comments, you want to know more, you can just go find us in those places. Yep. Have a good one.
Love y'all. All right, nigga.